you're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Be a part of the program by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. Audio files are available online, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. On the bus, in the shower, out back with the pool boy. Wait, what? Let's start the show. All aboard the English Express.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us here on the English Express Radio Podcast. This song just makes me happy.
It's so upbeat and bubbly.
Exactly. You can't, man, you just can't be in a bad mood when you're listening to Child Michael Jackson.
Or Michael Jackson can never be in a bad mood around children.
All right. And it is after Thanksgiving. I had a good, tasty meal.
Good for you.
I hope you did, too.
I did.
Even if you're from another country, you should have had a good meal on Thanksgiving.
I think I should have cooked my turkey just a little bit longer. I think it was just a little bit underdone.
Okay. Was it still gobbling at you?
No, it was nice and brown and crispy and tasted delicious. And I injected it with butter and it was great. I just think it's a little bit too gummy.
Not the description that you want when describing your turkey.
Now, by the way, I'm not saying my turkey was gummy. I'm just saying when I bit into it, it was just like too tender and juicy. I don't know how to say it.
Well, to bring that point home, I've got the top five signs it's going to be a rough Thanksgiving. So you show up.
Brought to you days later.
Hey, this could be reviewed after the fact. Like, let's say you showed up at the house that you're going to be spending Thanksgiving at, and the response is turkey. I thought you were cooking the turkey.
Oh no. I would be pissed.
Did I ever mention to you that sweet potatoes give me gas? this is the worst cold I've ever had in my life. I'll start passing the food.
Side story. I'm sorry, dude.
Okay, go ahead.
I was preparing food for my family the other day, and I'm slicing stuff, and I just felt it coming. I felt this huge sneeze on its way. And so I'm like, I'm chopping food actively, and so I have to bail out, right? What other choice do I have? I can't infect my family's dinner, right? So I turn to the side, and I let it loose all over the dishes that I had just done that were there drying.
And then you start to put food on said dishes.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, no. No, I had to rewash the dishes. We don't have a dishwasher, so all of our dishes we do by hand. We've been doing that for like three and a half years, right? So I had to rewash all of the spit off of these dishes. Damn it.
And then you get a knock on your door, and you say, but I thought you said you and your eight children couldn't make it this time. Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
And then you walk in, and instead of a movie or a football game, the host has put on the third presidential debate.
Wait, a rerun?
Yes. Because that's going to engender great relations between members of your family.
Well, and I love how they picked the worst one.
Yeah, right? Wait, no, was that the one that they were talking about? That one was actually kind of pretty entertaining, actually, I think.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway, it's over. It's over. We don't want to rehash that. Also, during Thanksgiving time in 1718, the pirate known as Blackbeard was killed off the Virginia coast. I believe it was during a Black Friday sale.
You get that Tickle Me Elmo, didn't you, Bucky?
Of course, back then they used swords. I believe it happened when his parrot started talking about how he was going to cheat his crew out of their fortune. Aye, aye, aye.
What?
You know, the parrot. He's like, I'm going to cheat you out of your fortune. Wait a minute. That might have been a Geico commercial.
I'm Never super mind. Confused. That one did not land with me at all.
All right. That one sucked. I should have left that one off. Yeah. But for the record, his beard wasn't really black. It was just really, really dirty.
Except for the crust from the salt of the sea.
All right.
What is a pirate's favorite letter?
Next, in 18...
Wait.
Go ahead.
What is a pirate's favorite letter?
I don't know what.
You think it'd be R, but it's the C.
Jesus Christ. I honestly thought you were going to go with R, and I didn't want to step all over your joke.
No, you're supposed to. It really, really spoiled it that you didn't, actually.
I was trying to be helpful. All right. In 1886, George Ferris died at the age of 37, 3 years after inventing the Ferris wheel. I guess he had whatever was going around. His mother always said he would never go anywhere. Sure enough, he got on his Ferris wheel, and moments later, he'd be back. And last, the cost of Thanksgiving has actually gone down. A classic Thanksgiving dinner this year only cost $49.87 for a gathering of 10 people, just under $5 per person.
That's BS.
Well, it's average, man. Remember the poor people who are just eating.
Remember the poor people.
Yams and green beans. That's
that South Park Thanksgiving where they get their one can of corn and no one has a can opener.
Yeah. That's down from 2015's all-time high of $50.11. So it's headed back down. Thanks, Trump, for lowering the cost.
Whatever. He's not even in office yet.
Well, okay, Obama was out in office in 2015 when it hit an all-time high, so thanks, Obama, for that. See, now Trump hasn't even taken office, and he's already reducing the cost of Thanksgiving dinner.
A lot of decision-making and ability to the president. Like, he's not a dictator. He can't just, like, change our economy by willing it to do so. Like, come on.
No, but it sure is fun to pretend, isn't it? Did you hear that the one where President Obama said something? It was like, thanks, Obama, about himself.
That's
a joke.
Wasn't it at like one of those dinners where they tell jokes at the podium?
It was in a commercial, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was in a commercial where he was like doing something. He's like, thanks, Obama. I love how he can make fun of himself.
It's one thing I've always liked about President Obama. I mean, there's been a lot of positives and negatives about his presidency, but one thing I've consistently liked about him, he sure has taken all of it with a good sense of humor, you know?
Yeah, and I liked that as well about him. There was a lot I didn't like about him, but that I really, really liked about him. The guy was a cool cat, for sure.
He always just seemed like he was a genuinely like good person at heart, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's time for a Florida pile. He says Florida's slowly sinking into the ocean. He says the housing tracks are built on halfback and the rest have fiction. So in Treasure Island, Florida,
That's a place. Is that a place?
Yes, Treasure Island, Florida.
They have a lot of chests there.
Well, 46-year-old Daniel Colon.
They have them everywhere. There's colons in Sacramento, colons in Fort Collins. They're everywhere.
Well, apparently he was unable to locate the restroom at a 7-Eleven, appropriate for a man with the last name of Colon. So what do you do when you can't find the restroom? He decided to relieve himself in the walk-in cooler.
Oh, come on!
Where a stack of Busch beer was pretty much ruined. You know what he was thinking? He goes, it's sealed. Police say,
Colon, how did the beer get ruined?
Because you're going to buy a case of beer that's covered in piss?
Oh. Oh, you peed on the beer?
Yes.
Oh, what a jerk.
Police say Colon urinated over 6 cases of Busch Light. 6. He moved. I mean, this is like,
well, you
what
didn't
an angry
mention
man.
That, you didn't mention that it was Busch Light. I mean, now I don't really care.
But it did cost the store a loss of nearly $100.
Well, I mean, come on.
It is Busch Light.
That's still a lot. A lot of these businesses are struggling.
Yeah, he was arrested, and in addition to criminal mischief and burglary charges stemming from the cooler urination, he was also charged with drunk driving because he tried to leave in a car.
Good Lord.
So, yeah. How about...
I heard this story about drunk driving that made me so mad, and I just wanted to share it real quick.
Go ahead.
So a woman leaves a bar, and she's drunk, and she calls her friend and says, "Friend, at home, I'm drunk, and I need a ride. Can you please come pick me up?" And so friend agrees, and so it's a cold night, and so in order to stay warm, she gets in her car, turns it on, turns on the heater, right? About 2 minutes later, a cop comes knocking on her door. "I need to breathalyze you." "What? What are you talking about, officer?" Breathalyzes her over the legal limit. "You get a DUI for driving drunk." She's like, "I wasn't driving. I was here warming my hands." And he's like, "No, you started the ignition of a car on a public street. You were driving." And the friend shows up while this conversation is going down. And she's like, "See, my friend is here to pick me up. You know, I wasn't drunk driving." And yeah, she got a DUI for it.
Well, and while the police officer could have been a little bit more reasonable in that situation, he was technically correct.
By the letter of the law,
he could have been a little bit more reasonable. I agree.
By what they define driving as, yes, he was legally in the right, but come on, man. She was trying to warm her hands on a cold night with her heater.
I agree with that. I agree that that he should have been. If I had been a police officer in that moment, I would have let it go. Been like, you know, all right. And I would have told him, I say, look, if you turn on a car while drunk, that falls under the legal definition of driving, I'm going to let you go, but I want to tell you, be careful, you know?
Yeah, I think the way I always put it together in my head is, I bet the lady was probably a bitch while she was trying to tell the cop that she wasn't going to drive.
Yeah, something like that. Because in situations like that where you're technically breaking the law, but it's pretty obvious that it ain't that big of a deal, I've had cops let me go. You know, because if you're nice and respectful, they're like, you know, all right, man, but, you know, seriously, next time do it differently than, you know, do it this way.
Anyway, I totally derailed your story. Sorry. Please proceed.
All right. How about a man who attempted to cash a $368 billion check?
Woo-wee! Did he get it from a prince in Nigeria?
Hang on. I got to show you a picture of this guy.
Oh, he looks like a reliable sort of fellow.
Okay, so... He bought
it. Looks like a scruffy ass mix between like Hagrid and Kevin Spacey.
Yes. I love his eyes are like kind of drooping.
He's caught mid blink. It's the worst picture of anybody.
I'm sure you'll be shocked to find out he's homeless.
That he looks the sort. If you had to stereotype a person, yeah, that's what they look like.
So one day, a little while ago, he was hiding from the weather, and homeless people meet other homeless people, as happens. And another homeless man named Tito Watts, he says,
"What?"
Tito Watts. He says, hey, I got a blank check for you. I'll sell it to you for $100, and you can write it out for any amount you want. Okay?
You write it
for any amount you want. It's a blank check, man. And he says, this check was issued in the 90s. It's okay, man. It's good. It's a good check. You can write it for any amount. So he paid the $100 for the check.
How did he have $100?
Panhandling.
Ah, these pilfering sons of...
Okay, so he paid $100 for the blank check, wrote it to cash for $368 billion, and walked into a U.S. bank in Idaho. Oh, no, it was issued from a U.S. bank. He walked into Bank of America and tried to cash it. So not only is it from the 90s, but it's also from a different bank. Okay?
And what a number to pick. $368 billion.
Oh, he had a reason.
Oh, good.
He had a reason because, as you can imagine, the police were called because he was starting to make a scene about his check not being cashed. Because they're like, "Sir, we cannot cash this check." Look at the way he wrote it. Hold on. Let me see if I get this close enough to the camera. Do you see the numbers there?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. They bent around the... It's like a third grader trying to get to the end of a sentence. How they won't go to the next line. They'll bend the word across the edge of the page. That's how he wrote it.
So the police were called, and he explained to them that he wanted the $368 billion to start an Italian restaurant.
Well, at least he's doing something productive, but I don't think it costs that much. I think you can admit with $100,000 easy.
No, no, his does. It's always been my dream to own the best Italian restaurant in the whole earth. I'm 10% Italian, and cooking authentic Italian food is in my blood. I planned to make the restaurant 80 million square feet.
Whoa.
Able to accommodate 30 million eaters at once. Plus, it was going to be totally underwater, so people could look at sharks while they ate.
Okay, look, you got to give it to them. That sounds pretty cool.
But the bank wouldn't give me the money that they owed me. Tito said that check was good for any amount that I wanted to write it for. So you got to blame Tito, not me. I'm as innocent as a schoolgirl.
He did not say that.
Swear to God, that is a quote.
Innocent as a schoolgirl.
In addition to a forgery count, he was also charged with unlawfully carrying ninja stars and being high.
Why are those unlawful?
Dude, you can't be out in public with ninja stars. Plus, it's Florida. People actually use them there.
I'm out with ninja stars all the time, man. You never know when you might need a shuriken a tree.
He was also high on bath salts, which shocked absolutely no one.
Well, at least not everyone's faces were okay.
He was released after posting a $23,000 bail that he paid with a check.
I don't know if I'd accept that.
I added that last part on. He didn't pay with a check. Oh. But how did this dude get to 23 grand?
I was shocked that he came up with the original 100.
Let alone 23 G's to get out of jail.
Maybe just as a joke, the teller put it into the bank and it went through.
I don't know. All right. Has your girlfriend in your life, girlfriend, wife, any serious relationship that you've been in, done anything that made you mad?
Okay, I got to think about this because the obvious answer is yes, but I'm trying to think genuinely mad.
How about anything specifically to do with an ex-boyfriend?
Okay, all right. So there was one time where my current relationship, my wife, girlfriend, we're not technically married, but might as well be. It was a lot earlier on in our relationship and we were separated and she was out with another guy. And like this was all known and everything. And I was watching the kids and she was supposed to be home like at like 6 or something. And it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I hadn't heard from her. I hadn't got a text from her. I had been texting her at like from like 8:39, wondering if she's okay. And she didn't like respond or whatever. And so she didn't get back to me until like 10:30 or whatever. And was just saying, oh, I'm sorry. I was busy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, I didn't know if you were dead. Like you were gone for way longer than you said you were going to be. And so I think that made me mad.
Okay. And I think that's reasonable. Tell me how reasonable this sounds to you. Jason Tackett, who's 38, was spending time with his girlfriend. They were hanging out on their bed watching TV when he noticed she was reading something on her phone. He was interested and she kind of pulls back. No, just personal, private. So he grabs the phone and he finds that she's reading her former boyfriend's obituary because he met an untimely end and she was reading it. How would you respond to that?
I'd feel sad that the boyfriend died. I would read the obituary. And sympathize with her and say, I'm really sorry that you lost an old friend.
Really? So you wouldn't fly into an instant rage, throwing the mattress off the bed and begin smashing things throughout the entire house?
Holy Christ. No, I don't think I would do that at all.
Including her cat figurine collection that she's been collecting her entire life.
No, you dick.
Destroying her iPad. And then cutting up her panties with scissors and writing whore on the living room wall with black marker.
It's a dead dude, you insecure asshole.
And then, at this point, you see, you thought that was bad. He then leaped upon the 43-year-old victim, held her down on the ground with his hand over her mouth while pinching her nostrils shut. He tried to suffocate her.
Good Lord.
He got up.
You want to be with him so much? You want to be with him? I'll send you there. What a dick.
He got up after the woman said she couldn't breathe.
Okay, how did you say that if you couldn't breathe?
I don't know. And he was smothering her. She obviously kind of got away, and he was surprised at that fact. And she ran outside naked, screaming for neighbors to call 911, but then went back into her house for her phone.
Hmm. Well, she lost her iPad. You got to get to the internet somehow. She got to update her Facebook status to "It's complicated."
Tackett expressed zero remorse and considered his girlfriend reading her ex-boyfriend's obituary as cheating on him. I'll try to forgive her for cheating on me, but she better not look at that obituary one more time.
Oh, my God.
She did sustain a small cut on her left pinky finger. That was the extent of her personal damages. Yeah, he was, however, charged with domestic battery by strangulation and was released on $10,000. So,
where do these people get this money for bail? I don't get it.
It's Florida, man.
I mean, oh my goodness.
Everybody's driving $100,000. What did Will Smith say? $100,000 cars. Everybody got them. So maybe they pawned it. Okay, let's do one more. Okay, I like this one. I like this one. You always love Florida and gun violence, right? So,
oh, yes, love gun violence. Oh, it's just my favorite thing. I wake up in the morning and the first thing I reach for is my muffin. The second thing is a gun violence story.
49-year-old Charles Cooper mixing gun violence with drinking. He was
the best kind. Yeah.
He was reportedly extremely drunk and was hanging out with his buddies, and he picked up a handgun. His friends were hanging around. They go, "Hey, you know, that's my gun." And he goes, "Oh, cool." Takes the magazine out and asks the owner if there was still a round in the chamber. And his buddy goes, "Well, just open it up and check. How do you check to see if there's a bullet in the chamber? I mean, you're taking the magazine out, right?"
Yeah,
How do you check the gun?
You hold the gun in whatever your dominant hand is, and with the non-dominant hand, you grip the back of the slide. It's a pistol, right?
Yeah, it's a pistol.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Semi-automatic pistol.
You pull the slide back. What's that called? The cock or whatever?
The slide. Uh-huh.
The top portion. You pull it back, and there's usually a mechanism that clicks up when it's pulled all the way back to hold it there, and the bullet pops out on its own.
If there is a bullet inside,
right. And so you will have a gun with the slide in a fully back position, and you can see the chamber is clear.
Mm-hmm. That's what Cooper's friend told him to do. Instead, he said, "I got a better way to find out." Put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger. It went off.
Yeah, that's a bad way to do it.
He was pronounced dead immediately at the scene. He
and his friends had to clean it up off the wall. Thanks. What's his name?
Charles Cooper.
Yeah, thanks, Charles. Thanks, Chuck.
Yep. He
appreciate it.
The man in Florida who checked if a bullet was still in his gun by putting it to his head and pulling the trigger. I mean, why not aim it at the tree?
And what's worse is he still doesn't know. Charles still doesn't know if the gun is loaded or not. To this, everybody else found out. Charles still doesn't know. And
well, that's the Florida pile.
He never found out.
All right, we'll be back on the English Express Radio Podcast.
It's literally the worst way.
Hey, Cliff.
Yeah.
Do you have a hole in your shoe?
Let me check.
No? Then how'd you get your foot into it?
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express Radio Podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience mean she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And I'm Brandon.
From the English Express Radio Podcast. Is learning English difficult?
Yeah, I've been struggling with that for 29 years now. And that's with practicing every single day.
Well, if you're looking to seriously practice your language skills, visit englishsteps.co.uk because they've got something different. You can actually travel to England. You can live with a qualified English teacher.
He'll make you tea and crumpets.
Well, you speak only English all day long and completely immerse yourself in the language. You can even take part in volunteer work for charity organizations all across Leeds, thus increasing your use of English in real-life situations. They specialize in adult-only courses because learning doesn't stop when you're a teenager. Learning never stops, so don't let anything stop you from visiting www.englishsteps.co.uk and learn more about how to build your language skills.
What are you going to learn today?
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast, number one among people who listen to us all the time.
Welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast. We're your host Cliff and Brandon.
Hello, hello, hello.
What do you even do on this show, man?
Dude, I was just pondering. That's what I do on this show. I ponder. And I was pondering that last lead-in.
Why?
Because if there's someone who listens to us all the time and we have two shows that each say they're number one among people who listen to us all the time, I'm just pondering the fallacy in our liners.
That's the joke, man.
Okay. I never got it until today. Joke. But it's making me giggle.
All right. Now, because it doesn't make sense any other time, we got to talk about some Thanksgiving facts and trivia. So if you have any of your own fun facts, please send them in info@theenglishexpress.com and we'll read them next year.
But wouldn't it be great if like the fourth week in March, we were like, and now Thanksgiving trivia.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, what is the symbol, the traditional symbol of Thanksgiving?
The turkey.
No, the thing that's in the middle of the table is what I think.
The cornucopia.
Did you know that the original cornucopia was made from a curved goat's horn?
No.
You didn't know that, really?
At least I got 2 out of 3 questions.
That's why it was. That's why it's shaped that way. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag tribe in 1621, and it lasted for 3 days. So I would be really happy with Thanksgiving that lasted 3 days. You wake up and you eat again. And then you eat again. Leftovers would really last then.
It's almost like every day of your life where you wake up and you eat and you wake up and eat unless you live in Africa.
Yeah, but the average Thanksgiving dinner has 4,500 calories.
Mm.
So you can't do that very long. President Thomas Jefferson hated the idea of a national Thanksgiving day.
Well, screw you, Jefferson. You're not invited. You get only cranberry sauce and you're sitting at the kids' table.
Because as we discussed last week, the George Washington was very much in favor of it. And Thomas Jefferson was not. Famous Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade began in the 1920s. So that's been going on for a while. And do you know what the president has to do with the turkey?
He does the pardoning thing, which is stupid.
That has been going on ever since 1947 when the president is presented of a live turkey, and then he pardons it, allowing it to live out its remaining few weeks on a farm.
You know, and just once, I want the president to be at that pardon and be midway through and be like, no, you know what? No, I'm not pardoning him. Not today, Tom.
Your dinner, Tom.
Yeah. And Jimmy, can we get a butcher knife over here? We need him immediately in the White House. This bird's going straight to the plate. And we have Trump as president, so it might happen. It might happen sometime in the next 4 years.
That would horrify and bring joy simultaneously to millions of Americans across the country.
Just like the president's Trump, the presidency itself, millions of Americans, both joyful and horrified instantaneously at the same time.
One of the reasons Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be the national bird, that's a well-known fact, was he thought that that should be it because the turkey is actually native to America only. It's a North American bird, specifically.
No, he thought it was the bird that most resembled him. He just wanted himself as the national bird. Well, if you look at Ben Franklin, he does look like a turkey.
Well, scientists have found fossils suggesting that turkeys have roamed North America for 10 million years. And when Columbus discovered North America, he thought the turkey was a type of peacock, which roams in India. That's why he thought it was India and why he called the Indians Indians.
So one of the reasons he thought he was in India was because of the turkey.
Yeah, he's like, dark people, peacocks, India. 90% of American homes eat turkey on Thanksgiving, but only half eat turkey on Christmas.
What else do they eat? Like ham and rib or something?
Yeah, terrible meats like that. What else would you have? Look, Christmas, prime rib, man. That's the way to go for Christmas. Prime rib is the bomb.
I don't know how to make prime rib, but I sure know how to heat up a ham.
I had it turned down.
You're so bad. So bad at that.
What do I do when my machine is turned down?
Turn it up before trying to use it.
I didn't know it was down.
Back in time.
Okay, another food that is commonly eaten on Thanksgiving is potatoes. Americans eat approximately 140 pounds of potatoes every single year. Man, that's a lot of potatoes.
Did you say 140 pounds?
Yeah, on average every year.
So each person eats that much a year?
Yep, on average. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
A potato is 80% water. And yams and sweet potatoes, a lot of people think those are the same things. They're not even in the same family. They're completely in separate botanical families. And sweet potatoes have been around since prehistoric times. The potato is the fourth most important crop in the world after wheat, rice, and corn.
It's always messing up the game.
And of course, you've got cranberries. 20% of cranberries eaten in the year, eaten on Thanksgiving. That's a fifth.
That's crazy that there would be that many cranberries consumed at other times.
Yeah, 80%. Native Americans not only ate cranberries, they also used them for fabrics, pottery, and medicinal purposes. In 2009, which is the last day we have data for, 710 million pounds of cranberries produced in the U.S. alone.
I gotta tell you, though, I think a cranberry would make an awful small pot.
No, they use them for, like, paint and stuff.
Oh, they didn't make them into pots, because, okay.
No, they use them for decoration. Only 5% of cranberries are sold fresh. The remaining percent are sold as cranberry juice, cranberry sauce, etc. That's where the 80% goes.
There is a lot of cranberry juice, and there's a lot of pregnant women, so I imagine someone's got to be drinking it.
That's it. And pumpkins. You know, pumpkin pies. You've got...
Gavin-ass pumpkins.
Yeah. Top pumpkin-growing states, Illinois, California, Pennsylvania, and New York. Those four states together produced about a billion pounds of pumpkin last year. Pumpkins, as opposed to potatoes, 80% water. Pumpkins are 90% water. And they're 90% are grown in Illinois.
Wow.
Now, what's your favorite kind of pie? Do you like pumpkin pie? Do you like pumpkin?
It's okay. I mean, I'll eat it.
Early colonial settlers used pumpkin not for the filling. They used it for the crust.
Oh, okay.
Which, actually, that would be kind of cool. They should do, like, pumpkin pie with a pumpkin crust. That would be awesome.
Yeah, if you could find a way to like crisp up a pumpkin rind to make it like a I don't know, some type of a breaded substance, yeah, that'd be really good. Yep.
All right, guys, well, that's it. We'll see you guys next week on the English Express Radio Podcast. Join us online, theenglishexpress.com. See you guys next week.
And don't forget, don't molest the animals.